The trial is over, and the verdict is in. And we are called to follow our Lord down the Via Dolorosa to the place of the skull. The chief priests have sacrificed truth, the politicians any claim to integrity. Vile scoffers spit out insults at the chosen one, and we begin to wonder if anyone cares. But then along the way, we meet the daughters of Jerusalem, and at first we're heartened. We can hear their sobs and see their tears. Some are even ripping their garments. Perhaps they understand. Perhaps they will join us. But looking more closely, we see that their tears flow too easily, and their mourning is oddly theatrical. You see, for them the Passion is a drama, but only a drama, a soap opera, a special on the Lifetime Network, and they're all too pleased to play their parts. Imagine their cries. Poor fella, too bad it had to come to this. He was a good enough pastor, but he took things a little too seriously. I guess he had it coming to him. If only he'd stayed out of Jerusalem, this whole mess could have been avoided. It's a tragedy, really. So are you having any guests over for tonight's Passover meal? Reality TV has nothing on the wailing housewives of Jerusalem. For the clucking class of every age, there is no good or evil, but only sad and unfortunate events. In the face of human misery, they can be heard to say, "That's a pity." Upon reports of injustice and tyranny, they can be counted on to cry, "What a shame." These are they who join the prayer chain because they find it cathartic to share the news of others' misery. They've driven past the abortion clinic hundreds of times without giving it a second thought, but become riveted to the funerals of Princess Di and Whitney Houston. But what can we say? Sometimes it feels good to feel bad. A community tragedy could lead to a nice candlelight vigil, a chance to hold hands and sing a few sad songs and shake our heads at the darkness and say, "Tisk, tisk, what is the world coming to?" It's all part of the Columbine culture. And all that's left is for the news anchor to announce, in a most serious tone, "Grief counselors will be made available." As if we were the victims. As if our sorrow were the real story. And in the midst of such self-absorbed weeping, our Lord turns and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." You see, the death of Jesus is not sad in the way these women think. It's not a miscarriage of justice. We can't attribute it simply to the conniving of Judas, the envy of the religious leaders, the fickle nature of the crowds, or the weakness of Pilate. It's not just a pity that it had to all end this way. It's not just a shame to watch a good man cut down in the prime of his life. And it's not as if Jesus was a victim of circumstances. Don't feel sorry for him. Jesus is really everything the scoffers say. He is the Christ, the King of the Jews, the Son of David, and the Son of God. Don't weep for him. If he had wanted to save himself, he could have and would have. 10 legions of angels would have come and flown in at the snap of his fingers. But he hasn't come to save himself. He's come to save you. And so looking us all in the eye, he says, "Weep for yourselves. Life isn't a game and death isn't a soap opera. And the problem isn't with the world, but with your heart. The suffering you see all around you has nothing to do with bad fortune. and don't think yourselves lucky to have avoided it. Answer now the cries of the needy. Make the cause of the poor your own. See in the helpless, the oppressed, and the unborn the face of Christ, and stop standing by, clucking. What a pity. Such a shame. As our Lord looks you in the eye, be like Peter and weep bitterly for your own sin. Like Simon of Cyrene, take up your cross before it's too late. And it's still not too late. And so it happened that as Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the criminals hanging next to him railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." So close and yet so far, O criminal. Christ can save you, and he can save himself, but he can't do both. The other criminal, however, had seen and heard enough, and he rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You're under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then turning to Jesus, he prayed, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." To which our Lord answered, "Verily I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." And then we watch as Jesus commends his spirit to the Father, and the darkness descends upon the land. And upon this drama, the curtain begins to descend one final time. But this time, as it falls, it's being torn in two by the nails of the cross. And beyond the veil, we see the Father, sorrowful but serene. And we catch a glimpse of paradise. We see heaven, surprisingly peaceful. And we remember what our Lord has promised. And our mind turns from the third act to the third day and a new beginning.